It's 1K, so since I stole all of Thorin's gigs, at the very least, what you guys can do is subscribe to his YouTube channel, so go on and do it right now.
When I used to work the big CSGO events, including the majors, obviously a concern was, especially back in the day when you had those 12, 14, 16 hour days, if people don't know, oftentimes you don't get much sleep because of jet lag or having to get up earlier, or you're in a different bed in a different country, different climate, you're in a hotel, not your own bedroom. One of the main concerns people have is, where do you get the energy for all that? And I can tell you right now, people are absolutely plowing caffeine at these events. Tons of people, if they like coffee, are on the black coffees. There's people going for runs to coffee shops. People who like energy drinks, they either have the sponsored one from the event that's just for free, or they're getting them to buy them in. They get you whatever you want nowadays. And I can tell you, I've tried all the energy drinks. I've tried them even in the context of trying to get more energy out of a day, which one perks me up more. When you hit the wall and you just feel like you want to nap for 2 hours, what's the best one to get you going? And even though I had like a few little tweaks, I had a few like orders of, that would take this one first, this one later, like time when you'd have the second one. I wish I had known about Gamersops, because one of the things I actually found when I did Flashpoint and went back to the events since I'd gotten involved with Gamersops and had this deal with them is, man alive, this really is the best one for that. Because I even found doing these events, again, if I ever need a second dose of Gamersops, then actually the event's too demanding. It's too long. I've already been up for too long at this point in time. And actually, I should do a better job figuring out the other factors. Because what I would do is I would still just need one for most event days. And it was only when you'd have like the three best of threes or like 8 hours between them that I'd have the second dose. So I personally think Gamersops, all those delicious flavors, it's not super chemically keto friendly. And like I said, the release lasts really long. The nice smooth taper off at the end. You don't have the hard crash. You want to try it out? Thorin is the code, THORIN, for 10% off at gamersops.gg. Now, as I said in this tweet, after working PGL Stockholm, this is actually on the last day for the final, I said, perhaps you might like to join me for what might be the last day I ever work at a CSGO major. Now, at the time, you can imagine people took that, because remember, this is the major that just broken the record, like 2.5 million viewers, Na'Vi wins, Simple gets his major, I was on the desk in the final, I had some great, loads of great lines and moments, it generally was one of my better events. People thought this was from my end, like, oh, I'm quitting doing majors, or maybe I'm not doing events anymore, or I don't know, maybe I hate PGL so much I'm not working with them. A lot of people seem confused by this. Or if you were cynical, the angle's obviously like, yeah, no one's hiring him. She's saying that to seem like he could work, but he probably just won't. Or maybe people just thought I wanted sympathy or credit or something. I don't know. But the actual reason I said that is just because, quite simply, the landscape looked like there is no real reason why I would be working at another major in CSGO. Spoiler, I even knew what was coming up for PGL. So what I thought was, I actually intended for a while to do a video like this, explaining the context, basically. Because what is the significance of me, Thorin, never working another CSGO major, what, the biggest lands in CSGO? Well, there's quite a lot of significance to that. First of all, in my career as an esports historian, I've always been in Counter-Strike. As soon as I professionally began working in 2001, I have covered Counter-Strike the entire time until 2022 now, and I still cover the game. So I've always been connected with Counter-Strike. I'll probably always follow Counter-Strike and watch every massive marquee game, all the big tournaments. And when you talk about the majors in CSGO, I am by definition closely associated with the majors. I have worked the most majors in CSGO history as a primary analyst role. I have worked 8 majors out of the 17 held thus far. That is a record for the most as primary analyst. There are casters who've done more. Obviously, it's a gig, by the way, we hire way more. There's even analysts. I think Moses has done more majors than me now, but obviously he only did some of them as an analyst. The rest he did as a caster. Now he works with, obviously, Anders in that duo. But that means you go out there and you name any person you either hear people say, or maybe you even think it's better than me as an analyst. So go on, Yanko, YNK, Sponge, Sean Gares, Pimp, name whoever you want. None of them have done 8. I've got the record for this point in time. And by the way, most of them are 3 or 4 majors off. So I can even just chill for a few years or never work again. They might never overtake me. Who even knows? Or then again, who knows if it'll be called CSGO soon? Maybe it'll be CSGO 2. Maybe it'll become Counter-Strike. There's all sorts of reasons why. So you know what? To work, not work another major is significant. It means something must have changed, right? In my relationship with the majors, my relationship with the role of analyst. Like, either it means something in me's changed, something with them's changed, something with the game's changed, right? Well, as you can imagine, the same thing that's ruined a lot of things the last few years, obviously politics is involved. But that's not as simple as just blaming that for what's happening here, though. Politics isn't all, because let's be real, politics has always been massively influential over whether I get to appear at the majors. Just it wasn't always on my end as much. So people might know, the second event I ever worked in CSGO as an analyst. Now, I had in CS 1.6 worked as a color commentator. There wasn't an analyst role back then. And I'd done majors like the IEM4 Global Championship. And I've done a whole bunch of stuff. But as an analyst, the first event I got hired to was the first major, DreamHack Winter 2013, in November of 2013. It was only like a 3-day event. Now, my second event as an analyst was going to be EMS One Katowice at the time, the second major of CSGO, which was obviously held in March of 2014. But then I had all that jazz go on with Unfiltered, where I went on Unfiltered, made a bunch of comments about Poland, some of it in jest, some of it actually quite serious points about my concerns I had about racism and some fucked up elements of their country and how they run things, and also aspects of the country that aren't really that cool and you wouldn't really necessarily want to go there. It's not an awesome place. So I won't go into the whole side tangent on that. That'll probably be if I one day do a video on Carmack, like spoiler. That was an example where basically a bunch of people who don't like me went out of their way to broadcast that in a way it was not being broadcast. It was a very niche thing that almost no one who worked that event would have known about. And they essentially went out of their way to sort of like load it, like, are you offended by this? To people who never would have seen it. So anyway, all the public sentiment turned against me. Understandably, once all the Polish people found out about it, they wouldn't have wanted me at the event anyway. People would have probably booed me the whole time in the crowd. It actually made a lot of sense to say you can't work the event anymore. You can't really, in good faith, do the job you hired for. You can't entertain people who don't want to be entertained by you, who don't want to hear you talk at that moment, especially about Counter-Strike. So in that sense, I always thought it was fine that they fired me. I've never, ever complained that ESL fired me, or that it was the wrong decision, or like held it against the people who did it, except the people I'm talking about who went out their way to stoke outrage and create a disingenuous set of circumstances, then pretend it was in good faith. Some of them even lie later and say they had nothing to do with it. I know you did. I have inside sources at your company. But one thing I will always mention that was dodgy as hell about that is when I actually said to ESL, okay, fair enough, I can't work the event, obviously, but I am here. I'm literally in the hotel right now. I'm talking to you. I'm supposed to go to the event. And ESL had a deal where they just wanted to hire me to do the entire event as an analyst. But because at the time I worked for a journalist at OnGamers, and I wanted, because I told OnGamers I would go to the event, I wanted to go to the event with my camera guy. And when I didn't have matches on the desk, go and do interviews. And so what I said to them was, I tell you what, I'll even get OnGamers to basically pay half it. They'll agree to pay half the costs. You'll pay half the costs. I'll be your analyst still full time. And at the end of it, you save money, right? Here's how ESL repaid me for that. When I said to the person firing me, but you understand though, right? Even if I don't work the event, it's too late now. I'm already here. The flights have been paid for, booked the hotels. You have to cover that. That's what you're bad that you agreed to hire me to the event. You can't deny that at this point. And that person told me straight to my face, like, we will not be paying your flights and your hotel under any circumstances in light of what you've done. And they thought, because they thought they had the moral high ground on me, that's somehow like reasonable behavior. So I'll always say fuck ESL for that. So then I was just sat in a hotel room for a few days in Poland waiting until I could get my flight home. And I actually genuinely did sit down and realize there's two ways this realistically goes. Either this is just like the zenith. This is the moment I had my biggest moment as an analyst. I will only ever be remembered for this. This will be the thing that's the albatross around my neck, the anchor. It hold me down. Or I say, embrace this. In fact, build it into my persona. Say, fuck this event. Make that even part of it. They're like, I didn't give a fuck. And then I'm going to come back so hard, I'm going to become the number one analyst in CSGO. I'm going to become such an analyst in CSGO that if ESL doesn't hire me, their events will look stupid and shit in contrast. And they will seem like fools to the people who are above them in the chain of command. Someone will eventually go, why are we actually having the story guy in our events to bring that vibe? And you won't be able to ignore me. So as a result, I missed a whole bunch of majors in the next few years, guys. I missed Katowice 2014. I missed Cologne 2014, the one that NIP won. I missed Katowice 2015, where Fnatic won with Olaf Meister as the MVP. I missed Cologne 2015, where Fnatic won again and upset Envious and Kenny S was crying in the final. So I missed four majors over those next 2 years out of a potential six. Now, I got to work DreamHack Winter 2014. Still had a good relationship with DreamHack. They weren't owned by ESL at the time. I worked DreamHack Cluj Napoca in 2015 because I had a good relationship with the DreamHack. And also PGL, who was helping with some of the event. And then I worked MLG Columbus 2016 in, I think it was March or something, March or April of 2016. And that was the period in time where MLG did their first major, sadly their last major, because then they'd been sold to Activision Blizzard or whatever it was. And it was known that they're going to move out to CS, and they didn't do any big CSGO majors or big CS events after that. Then after that, though, what I said earlier, my little plan in the hotel room in Katowice, 2 years and a few months later, it worked. ESL hired me. They even said in the announcement, like, essentially, you cannot ignore him. That's exactly the vibe I was going for. People always said, ESL and Rich don't have the banter. They don't have the vibe of the fun. ESL are too stuffy. It's all just all buttoned up shirts. And yeah, they can't do any jokes on that. Now, what's funny is Carmack and ESL used to play defense all the time. Of course we do. We allow banter. We love it. Look, we wouldn't even have a problem with that. They even used to do the shitty thing where they'd go, we haven't even banned Thor of our events. He's welcome to buy a ticket to attend, but obviously not work the event. So you can see the sort of fuckery they were doing. But what's great is the other people in ESL who worked the IM brand, they were built up the ESL one brand to be massive in CS. They were like, you know what, we weren't even involved with that. Some of us weren't even here at the time, and that isn't our thing. Spoiler, we also aren't Polish, or that wasn't really a reason, they said. And so they were like, we won't do the work for the ESL One side. That's why I would go and I would do ESL One Cologne. I would go and do ESL One New York. These are the events I would work. But IEM's not a chance, although I did once get asked to do like IEM Sydney or something, but I didn't want to do a billion hours flying to Australia. And spoiler, now I obviously would never want to go to Australia. Or why would you ever even risk it at this point in time? Who knows what could happen? So I came back to ESL. I worked ESL on Cologne 2016. By the way, maybe even the best major ever. I actually think that year I had the two best majors back to back. Then after that, E-League had been running that year, who I'd been working with. So I worked the first E-League major, which was E-League Atlanta 2017, in January of 2017. But after that, guys, I still missed majors, and for potentially political reasons, like PGL Krakow was the next major in 2017, but I didn't attend that event. I was asked to work it by PGL. I've always had a very good relationship with them, just one-to-one with the boss people. But the problem is that event's in Poland. Well, another thing I also did when I was in that hotel room was say to myself, I ain't coming back to Poland again, and especially never for esports. I don't care how big Poland is. I don't care if every major's in Poland. I didn't know where I thought that half of them would be, seemingly. I was like, I'm never coming back here. That's one thing, that's for sure. Because, yeah, I understand why people in the moment might get heated and angry, but if you've experienced thousands of people treat you that way over a bunch of silly comments on a podcast or some jokes, nah, I ain't fucking with that. So as a result, like, nah, I'll never be going back for that reason. So then consider this. I also famously, I've told this story years and years ago, when I was getting all the hate messages through my Facebook, Twitter, every single method people could contact me to say the most horrible thing that they thought they could plant in my brain to maybe hopefully get me to kill myself or something. When they were doing that, famously, one of the messages, even though the event was in Katowice where I got in all trouble, that was in Katowice, famously said, come to Krakow, city of the machete. So when someone announced a major is in Poland and then they tell me the city is Krakow, look, it's not that I think that guy's going to come and stab me, but I ain't going to go at that point. I mean, by the way, if you did get beaten up or stabbed, you'd seem pretty silly if you then knew all that, said it all publicly, and then went to the event. Like, that's the problem with the Poland angle, by the way. I just dislike it, and I dislike the people because of what happened in that regard. But let's be real. I also would never have attended the event because, yeah, 99% of people would never say anything in real life, would never do anything about it. It'd only take one person to be annoying, to make it, to potentially spoil the event, to make you think, why am I here working as a professional so some dickhead can do this because of some shit on the internet years ago? So yeah, it never was going to happen. Because don't worry, loads of people, loads of TOs came in and told me, I had top players, like Virtus Pro players, tell me if you came, we would make sure nothing happened. Like Pasha told me, I'll be like your bodyguard. Really cool offer, by the way. Everyone always used to tell me, yeah, Pasha will probably beat you up for that. You don't even know who this guy is. That shows me you're not an actual Pasha fan because you think he's some violent thug out of like UFC or something. You're a moron if you think that. He's one of the sweetest guys ever in esports, and I've always had a great relationship with him. Always had great chats and convos, always shown respect. Now, the other thing as well is, loads of TOs and other talent were like, look, just come, like, you know, nothing will happen to you. We'll even, like, bill it like a cool angle. Like, probably most of the fans will even get into it. Maybe you can even be the villain. And I was like, yes, you're totally right in all regards. But I don't want to go to an event where some one person might just spoil the whole event. So I'm not doing it. And crucially, as I'll get to later, I never needed the events. I didn't have to do it for money. I didn't have to do it for status. So I really could pick and choose in a way others can't. And because of how I've played the political chess game, notice how every time people think I'm checkmated, I somehow get out of check, and then I checkmate the other broadcaster, and he has to hire me back and doesn't beat me and ban me. It's almost like you guys don't know what you're talking about, and you're just talking about a shitty little soap opera that's actually my life and career, but you think is just a silly TV show that you can guess. You've never guessed correctly so far. That's why I'm still here now in 2022. That's why I could have worked a major in 2022. Y'all told me I was done in 2014. Y'all told me I'd never get majors in the first place. Then you told me ESL would never hire me again. You told them never, no chance, Blast would never bring you in. Worked with Blast again after that. Oh, Stalada, ha ha, why would they hire you? Exactly. Across the board, you're wrong every single time, aren't you? So the thing is, like I say, I missed majors after that. Then you got to add in, there was even a bunch of drama where, because, one thing I should also say, I've just remembered is, there was even, I'll just add this little nugget in there for people who are industry people, because this is fucking fire. I'll even point this out. You know how I said I had a chance to attend PGL Krakow in Poland because PGL ran it and they invited me and I could have worked that one. Eventually, even ESL once inquired about a major in Poland. And I said no. So then came the whole E-League angle. Remember, I just worked that E-League major. Well, here's the problem. Because even before that E-League major, for E-League the TV show, I kept telling them, we all did in the green room, like, look, this is a cool crew of people. You have picked some of the best people. But where is Yanko? Where is YNK? He right now, that year, was becoming the best analyst. He was hitting his prime and he'd gotten all, like, he's getting his showmanship down. He was doing some banter. He already had all the knowledge anyway. And he was just getting his skills leveled up. His English was getting way better. His accent was better to understand. He was looking smarter on camera. He had his own persona. And he was the number one guy. He was doing all the big events. And I told E-League and the people that hired at E-League and who handled us, you had to hire this guy. Not you have to or you should. You had to. I said, you've actually already messed up by not hiring him initially. So I said, when this major comes up in Atlanta, he has to be on the list. And the worst thing was, they even told me, because they thought this would counter, went, well, because it was me and Moses sat there, I can't be like, don't hire Moses. I mean, I could, but I wouldn't say that anyway. I think Moses works great with everyone. So I actually told them, look, if it was a choice of only hiring two people and you're already getting more, just get him instead of me. I said, I wouldn't agree because I'm always going to think I'm number one. But for the general consensus, like he probably is number one over me at this point in time. It's almost 2017. So I was like, you should hire this guy. So that already planted the seed in their mind. And thankfully, later they did actually hire him. They tried out Sponge first. I will notice after something else that happens in a second. So I told them he's a must hire. But they didn't hire him for E-League Atlanta. And in fact, they only hired me and Moses and gave us tiny segments. So that pissed me off right there. I didn't like the way that was handled. A whole bunch of other things I also didn't like. I made sure I told them that. And thankfully, they did hire Yanko after that. Then what happened was, though, before they could hire Yanko for the event, there was an event called E-League Clash for Cash. It was around the summer of 2017. And the idea was, bring back the major final participants versus Pro Nostradamus. They have that amazing match. It'll be we'll give a massive prize money game where they just play an exhibition match. Sounds great, right? But it was so many months later, VP had dropped off already, and Astralis easily won this game if you ever saw it. So when they announced that, I already thought, one best of three. I have to fly all the way to Atlanta to do it, be all jet lagged. The premise is shit. It's not even a good game. At that point in time, you'd want to be Astralis versus FaZe or SK versus FaZe. Like, these are the matches you'd do, mate. And then it had less money to pay me to work this event because it was one day than I would get working the minor for PGL, Krakow, because they didn't hold the minor in Krakow, Poland. They held it in Romania. And since I had a good relationship with PGL, they wanted me to still be involved with the major somehow when I said I couldn't work the major for them. That's why they had me do that whole cool series of, like, Thorin breaking down each team, and they showed me as, like, a villain, like, oh, you didn't expect to see me at the event. It was quite a cool angle, actually. So I remember saying to Ely, like, basically, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to work your little exhibition match. They never invited me to another E-League event ever again, including the next major, the E-League Boston Major, which is whatever, it's by the by. Now, I can still always say I turned them down first. That's true. But they never, ever invited me again. I never got to be at the Boston Major and see Cloud9 win over FaZe Clan. Was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? That all depends, really, innit? Then you had the whole Face It drama. So there's another thing we have to shade into this, right? By the way, if you're thinking, you get a lot of drama. No, what happens is all the other talent just take it up the arse for a decade, mate. They get paid 6 months later, a year later. They get fucked over. I don't get hired for this event. No reason given. Then they hire me for the next event to fuck with my other rival, who now they want to undercut. They're all caught in that cyclone. I've never had to be. And because I haven't had to be, I've been able to have my own self-esteem. I've been able to put my foot down. I've been able to literally say to T.O.'s, no, yeah, I'm not working with you and I'm not doing this event. But I won't be until you level up in X, Y, and Z ways. And you know what? Because of the way I've played the game and the leverage I have, they sometimes come back here as literally go, we've done X, Y, and Z. Can you work with us again? Like Blast did, like ESL did, like loads of these companies did. It's nearly always me saying no first. So the Face It drama goes like this. I worked with Face It a whole bunch in 2015, if you remember those events. Although I actually turned down the one that, I think it was the one that TSM won over Cloud9, the one that was like Face It Stage 2, but it was at DreamHack Valencia, if you remember. Now, I did work at the end of the year, the Stage 3 finals, which is the one where Fnatic beat Luminosity and Richard had that whole drama with Lauder. Now, listen, Face It definitely didn't like the fact that I sided with Richard on that. A detail I don't know if I've ever told publicly is they initially came to me and told me after that incident with Richard, DreamHack and Face It, they were like, right, we're going to finish up the show without Richard and DDK is going to be the host. And I literally told them, like, well, I won't be on the desk. And they were like, what do you mean? You have to go out now. now. It's like, oh, listen, if we finish this event, it will be with Rich Lewis on the desk. You can deal with him with whatever's going on with you and him separately. If you think there's some sort of problem, deal with it separately. Deal with the police, whatever. But he is going to finish this event. We are all going to have solidarity. Otherwise, none of us are going on. Now, I don't know if the others would really have stood up to that, whatever, but it didn't matter because they buckled. And within like half an hour or something, they'd got sort of like, yeah, Richard's back. Like, obviously, we're not going to talk about any of that. We're just going to finish up the event and it's all going to be good. So there's already, I'm sure, that probably didn't really please them that much. So I noticed after that, they never hired me. Didn't hire me for ECS Season 1, didn't hire me for ECS Season 2. Even though, by the way, I was working with the guy who does the hiring part of that E-League. So you can imagine what might have gone on there. They did hire me for ECS Season 3 in the UK, though. That banger one where you have that amazing FaZe versus SK final and SK versus FaZe Astralis semi-final. Really banger matches, by the way. Go have a look. But what happened was, they only really hired me for that event because I think it was Moles off the top of my head. Some other talent had some sort of dispute with them where they like didn't want to hire him because I think he maybe like said no at that point, but they already thought he was going to do it already and they'd assumed and then they got butthurt, so they brought me in. But then they just didn't like it in general, so that was the end of that. And then basically, you had the next year or so, and if you remember, they held a major in London and Face It ran it. It was in my home country, the only major ever in my home country, the United Kingdom. And they didn't hire me intentionally because they were cheesed off and they wanted to fuck with me, so they skimped on the budget generally and they didn't hire me to diss me, didn't hire Vince. They did in the end once we all completely hired Sponge at the end, once we complained enough and got him to the playoffs, but they were trying to do their own little dodgy approach at the time. Now what's wild is even before they technically officially worked with me on Flashpoint, Face It guys, they actually already came up to me at the end of 2019. That's why I did a picture on my Instagram from the Esports Awards. Basically sort of like apologized slash were like, hey, you know, why don't we work together? Like, we should really work on something. And then behind the scenes, I was offered to work ECS Season 8 Finals, which was the one, if you remember, that Astralis won over Team Liquid at the end of that year, which would have been cool. But actually when they offered me, I think it was like a week or two before, I actually had to, I can't remember if I had to like go to another event right after and I'd won before as well. But there was some reason why I couldn't attend it or I didn't want to attend. Maybe it was in America. I think that was it. I just didn't want to go at that time. So I told them, I don't want to do that event. But I had a sense already. This is why I'm not actually that sure about the way that whole shenanigans went. They already sort of knew they were vying to be the people who operated like the tournament side of Flashpoint. So I imagine they sort of knew, oh my God, wait a minute. Flashpoint might bring on Tharin and bring him in. So I better get in bed with him again and make friendly. So look, whatever. That's just industry politics, if you know. But that means as a result, there was also a long time and I missed a major for Face It. So there's another reason why there was issues. By the way, Face It now obviously is just part of the same company that bought ESL. So just irrelevant at this point in time as a major organizer. So then we came to the second to last major I worked at, which was Starladder Berlin. Now, I had worked so many Starladder events at this point in time, especially the last years when the other top talent started turning it down, even though they were banger tournaments, and especially when it went to shit and they did like Season 6. It was one that was won by like, that was the one that was won by Ents, if you remember, over Vega Squadron in the final. But it should, on paper, have been won by like Mouse Sports, Big, NRG, I think might even have been there. Oh man, it was ridiculous. Like, what was going on at that event? So, because I'd worked all these stuff, I actually found out I wasn't even going to be hired to this event. In fact, they even did like a courtesy and were like, yeah, just let you know, but we won't be hiring. But what's hilarious is they were like, we won't be hiring you, but don't worry, we'll hire you to the very next Starladder event we hold. And I remember just saying to them, like, lol. So wait a minute, you think I'm not good enough to work your major, but well, then when the other talent turn you down for the normal Starladders, you're going to hire me? And you, this is why Eastern Europeans have a different mentality and way of talking. And you think that's like a compliment or something I'm going to appreciate? I told them, you know what, fuck the next event. I won't work with you ever again. And I take this as an outrage and an offence that I worked all these events for you. I consider myself one of the best in the world. And you're not even considering me for the major. And by the way, they were getting some proper wacky people on that major. Now, luckily, they actually thought better of it because there was also that thing where they weren't going to hire Anders and Moses and someone else. And luckily, in the end, pretty much everyone got brought. If you remember, we got brought for the second Swiss system going onwards. And so I did get hired. Now, I will say, I initially was hired really bizarrely to be like a late night host where I've had my own like parlor style slash Jimmy Fallon late night talk show and bring players. And that could have been fire, but it could be amazing. You can see on Flashpoint, we did some interesting things a little bit like that. The problem is, it never happened. I got there. They never did it like that. And they just made me a normal analyst in the rotation, which is fine. I should have been that from the beginning. Now, one other thing that did cheese me off is they did ask me if I would play in a show match. And then Chad even had the idea that the show match should be in CS 1.6. I thought that was amazing. Imagine me in a 1.6 show match playing against the pros that didn't play 1.6. Imagine me playing like Kenny S, I don't know if Cold Zero did. I imagine you probably didn't. Cold Zero, these sort of... Because, first of all, look, they're still going to beat me. They're better than me. But I'll tell you what, that's my game. I know some edges about that game they wouldn't know. And I would go for Mad Ballsy Plus. I remember loving that. I bought my mouse. I got everything ready. And as usual, they just cancelled it the day before. That'll be relevant later on. Now, obviously, the reason I also bring up this, the politics, as well as shading in the story of me and the majors, is... I already did a tweet like this. People just forget this. A lot of people have bad memories or they don't connect details together or see a pattern. I already did a tweet like this after the Berlin Major. So here we go. I said, at this point in time, this is actually before the Berlin Major. This is when I actually did do this, by the way, knowing that they weren't going to hire me for the style of the Berlin Major at the time. I said, at this point, it's entirely possible I never work another CSGO Major. Happy to have worked at six, no matter what. Now, obviously, I've got two more since then, haven't I? So the key thing here is, obviously, I'm in a situation implied by the video. Maybe I never work again back at that same position. Because let's look at the lay of the land back then, and you'll get a sense for why, when we look to now, it's a similar situation. Right, back then, ESL was probably going to hold their majors in Poland because they'd stopped holding Cologne as a major. It was just such a brilliant event without being a major. They felt like there was no reason for it. So it was always going to be Katowice. And it was already implied they'd go to Brazil. So that meant ESL majors probably a no-go. Then Blast at the time, this is 2019, was looking very unlikely to ever work with me again because they'd chosen other talent, I thought inferior talent, and then I'd obviously wrecked them with the whole Blast Ralis meme all year long in 2019. Now, it actually turned out, by the way, at the end of 2019, they did hire me in 2020 for the whole circuit. Well, I think it was the first half, and then they were going to do a deal for the second one, but obviously going online, scuppered that, and then that whole drama with Astralis slash device in the tweet, wasn't it? And then they basically tried to demand control of my Twitter. I told them to go fuck themselves. Just keep the job. See ya, I'm off. Never worked with them since. So at the time, it didn't seem like Blast was ever going to come around, and people thought they would probably bid for a major and get it at this point. Because it had been sort of a last-ditch effort for Star Ladder, and it wasn't the greatest major. It was good, but it wasn't the greatest. I actually think Star Ladder was unlikely to get another at that time. MLG was long gone. DreamHack wasn't really going for majors at this point in time. PGL wasn't around for those years. And Face It didn't work with me. So actually, at this point in time, Star Ladder, it was totally logical around then. Why, if they're not going to hire me for that, I'd probably never work another major, right? Then there's the whole ESL thing, right? Now, what people might not know is this. ESL holds majors now. Maybe they get, oh, he didn't want to go to Brazil. But why the other ESL majors? Maybe you don't know about another relevant tweet. So here we go. This was from January 25th, 2020. It says, in light of the unethical and unprofessional behaviour of ESL over their EPL dealings, I won't be working with their org under any circumstances until the people responsible are named and fired or leave the company. That goes for majors, cologne and content. So I went out of my way to say I will not be working with them unless very specific requirements are met. And those are not a small feat, by the way. So here's the key thing. That came, yes, after I knew I was working with Flashpoint. But because the Flashpoint project scared ESL and the team so much, ESL, in my opinion, one of the most egregious, fucking insane moments in competitive integrity history, took qualified Pro League spots, especially for certain North American teams, that were of small orgs and just stole the slots from them and gave those to other orgs. Sometimes orgs without even good teams or teams that at the time had shown nothing and just gave them that because they were a bigger org and they wanted a different business partner. But just partway through the whole process of being in Pro League. Remember, Pro League was what those players fought for with the PEA thing. And now they're not going to join Flashpoint. They're going to let someone fuck over other teams and then they're going to play with them for a tiny bit more that Nicola Nyom's negotiated. That's whack. And so I decided in that moment, wait a minute, listen, I've looked... It's not that I've looked past what ESL's done. It's more like I just viewed my job as my job, ESL's job as theirs. And unless they were doing something directly corrupt to me, I never really thought that much about while I'm working with them. Oh, what's going on over here? It's like, that's a different scenario. It's up to them what they're doing in that regard. But that is the point. At this point in time, I decided, nah, actually, that can't fly anymore. Like, if I ever work for ESL again, I can't do it knowing they just steal slots from players after bigging up those players and going, oh, great underdogs. Hey, yeah, cut from Pro League, by the way. Like, I'm not going to do that. So I thought, in this moment, I'm going to take a stand. And I'm going to take a stand that's a real one. Not just, I don't like this. It's like, here's what's happening. I'm never going to do this because of this until they change in this way. I'm going to demand ESL gets better. Spoiler, that isn't going to happen from ESL probably ever now, right? Now, one thing that was whack as fuck, by the way, is pro players, coaches, teams did nothing about this themselves. CSPPA did nothing. None of these people, by the way, even publicly supported my cause. There was very few people retweeted or like that, and very, very few privately contacted me. Like, oh, thanks so much for doing that. I know, really, you don't have to put your neck on the line. Like, what does it even have to do? You've actually given up work. No, they didn't care. In fact, sadly, some of them even thought, you just did it for drama to be relevant. Meanwhile, I'm literally putting work on the line, my livelihood, to actually help these motherfuckers in their career. It's just wild, isn't it? That's esports for you. No good deed goes unpunished. And I also intentionally did it like that. I could have just said, I don't like this. Yes, I'll ask them. That would still have left the door wide open at any point in the next few years to work together. I wanted to make it clear that I didn't have to do this, but I'm choosing to do this, and I'm willingly making a no-return move, functionally, unless something extreme happens in response. Now, I did this, the analogy is, like Cortez burning the ships when he got to the New World. The intention is, we aren't going to go out there into the jungle and find out, oh, bloody hell, this is getting a bit tricky. Back to the ships, lads, back to space. No, we burned the ships. So there's only one choice. We're going right through that jungle. We're going to conquer this whole thing, or we're going to die. And that's what you want to set your mind to. So I decided like that. It's pretty simple. I don't even want it to be tempting. I don't even want to think in a year. I did already say I don't like them more. Plus, you know, that was in the online era. I didn't even want that devil thought to be in the back of my ear. I'd be working another major though. Oh, imagine all those fans who said you'd never work with yourself. Imagine, I didn't want that. So I wanted to make it clear right now. Nah, off the table. And if you know me, I'm a man of my word. Just like I showed you that Flashpoint shit, innit? So it's not like you could never, ever work with ESL again. There's, in theory, some ways, but it would require a lot. So let's keep going with the story. Then obviously came the online era. Now, I was working with the Flashpoint project for all of that year. That was a massively time-consuming project because you don't know how many things out off the air and off the record I was doing. Oh, so much work. I basically did like two or three people's entire jobs that year while getting paid for one. Now, obviously, I did a video about my whole Flashpoint experience. Part of doing Flashpoint was also a significant change in my career because now I decided I'm not just going to be on camera and do what I can within MySpace. I want to see these broadcasts expanded. I want to see them progress. I want to see them evolve into something more, to become more complicated and sophisticated and have nuance and room for more discussion and have shows attached to it and have content that feeds into it and make it a whole experience and have experts involved, not just dumbing the game down. And that's some of the things I was trying to do with Flashpoint, some of them I didn't get to do. And that was another decision of like, I have to have more than just getting paid a nice day rate to say a few things and then go to a break. Now, let's be real. 2021 was, after I stopped working with Flashpoint, was super scuffed anyway. If you don't know, the events were a joke. They were all in studios. Almost none of them were LANs until the end of the year. The rates were shit, and there were people hella undercutting, by the way, and I don't play that game. I just ask for my rates or around there, and if you don't give me them, then hire someone else. There were tiny crews for these events. There were appalling work environments. Sometimes ridiculous number of hours and what you're having to do and watch in different regions. The games are dog shit. They're all online. And then there was the whole thing. You have to travel during all the like bullshit restrictions and do this thing and this document. And have you got this test? And like, nah, fuck all that noise. I didn't have to work on events that year. So I chose not to, boys, until the major came running and I did an online event as well. So along came the major, PGL Stockholm. Now, it was a slam dunk, by the way, I would be hired for this event, because I just have a really good relationship with some of the head people in PGL. You know why? Because they're super OG like me. They know who's real in this industry. They know who's been through the bullshit, who's actually got skills, and who continues to come back year after year after year and be among the best. And it ain't some of the plebs that you see nowadays. I was even, as people might know, asked to consult. Now, they didn't really listen in most regards. Like, I got a couple of people hired, couldn't get the other ones I wanted hired. For example, I would want them to hire Freya, probably Pansy as a caster. I might even have hired Frankie. I actually told them that was a name they should consider for interviews. I would have hired a bunch of these people so they never would have had that whole stupid drama, because there actually were good enough people to get hired. It's just there were also people just as good who were men who could be hired instead, but they made the rod for their own back in that regard. They weren't actually trying to make a political point there, hence why they hired Freya in response to the backlash. Now, the problem is, I did a whole by the numbers about this where I went really deep and was very brutal about it with Richard. It was a terrible event to work in many, many regards. Look, it had some good games. It was quite crucial in CS history. But to actually work, it was some of the worst working conditions I've had in years and years and years. Like I said, it felt like going back to 2015, guys. It was outrageous. Then they had that whole show match thing, which I talk about in that video as well, where they managed to tilt me off the face of the planet with that, where I was supposed to play with like people like Device and Get Right, and then I'd be against like players that I'd be fucked with over my career, and they'd have all the banter. I'd already bought the mouse and the keyboard for this. I was already ready. I was going to go out my way to be a showman. And at the last minute, there's not a joke. They just, with no warning, they just replaced me with Zeus, because Zeus was available and was a big name. And he is such a twat, he even wore a rival betting company's crypto exchange or something shirt, even though the event itself was sponsored by a different crypto exchange. That just shows you what fucking imbeciles PGL are. Like, I wouldn't have done that, mate. So, whatever. And by the way, that show match was fucking trash. It was absolute garbage. But I'm such a legend, by the way, that when they didn't tell me, you're not on the show match anymore, they just put me on the calendar as working as an analyst for the show match, which, spoiler, gave it away. I still turned up and did my job then. You don't know that. You don't know how I felt on that day and how outraged I was and how betrayed, but I still did it anyway because I'm a professional. Now, I've known plenty of other people to skip. Oh, I'm feeling bad. Oh, I had a call about my family. You don't know the circumstances I've worked events under and killed those desk segments too. There's another thing. I don't just go on to go on. I'm a go on. I'm a forget about that. And we're going to war. I'm going to get some headshots, mate. I'm going to succeed. So that entire thing was a complete joke. Now, I made bold statements, again, on purpose about that event, wrecking them, saying they shouldn't even get another major, because I wanted PGL to either get offended or to get better. Now, luckily, seems like they wanted the latter, to get better. Because when the next major was going to be PGL again, Antwerp, I imagine just because they smashed the viewership record, I was called by head people. They apologised. They asked me, would I work this major? As far as I know, I was the first person asked. I was actually the first person told they had the major before it came out. And then I was asked, would I work it? I was also told Richard is welcome as well. Now, you might ask then, so why weren't you at PGL Antwerp? Why did you not get your ninth major? Well, there's another story, and this certainly is relevant now and might be again in the future. I have a great TO relationship with PGL. I've said it many times in this video, but they made it impossible for me to work this event and to be me. There's the key line. Because I consider myself a moral actor in the world. I didn't always. Now, look, I still wasn't someone who did immoral things in terms of, like, hurting other people, being a scum. No, I didn't do any of that stuff. Never lied, any of that. Crimes, none of that stuff. But I didn't think of myself, oh, it's about being moral and, like, showing people an example. I never really was about that, but I am. That's who I've been the last few years. By the way, you'll notice that's why the real evil people hate me even more and go harder at me on Twitter, etc., and social media, and try to portray me as evil, because they know I am here to call them out as scum fucks, and I have no compunction about doing it. So I decided I am going to be a moral actor in this world, which means my career as well. I am going to embody the philosophies and principles I espouse, hence why I can espouse them. It's not hot air coming out, or luxury beliefs like Frankie and Froscura have, or some nonsense you just say to get likes. If I say something like that, I mean it. And I'm trying to figure out not only what I think and believe in, but then I'm trying to make that how I make my decisions. That be my compass. And therefore, it's legit. It's not just spouting off a bunch of flowery words. So when they made the announcement that everyone attending this event had a certain medical restriction placed on them, where they had to have undergone a specific procedure, which basically you could not work the event. Same for pros. At one point, they were even saying it for the audience, this would be the case. Right, firstly, I have zero interest in undertaking that procedure. And even if I did, as in even if I was like open to it, only if I needed to. The idea that I would do it to talk about video games is fucking absurd. It's fucking, and by the way, that will age so poorly. The idea you had to do that years, it already has if you know the world now, but it's going to get really, really whack 5 to 10 years from now. Then I actually think on an individual basis, it is immoral to ask someone to do that, or rather demand they do it in this case, otherwise they can't work the event. In exchange for work even, that's coercion. That's even more morally fucked up. And to demand that pros do it, I think is insane. It's actually a moral sin by the person asking it, because they carry all the liability for their health, for their actual medical status, for what happens in the rest of their lives, what happens with their careers. And I also think it's unethical as an employer / organizer to make that demand. I mean, you could first of all go in the whole grounds of legal status. Don't think it would work in that regard. There's literally laws against these things. You could go on the insurance angle. You're not liable for us anyway, so why are you making us undertake certain things as if you were? Then let's be real. I'll just say it this way. It wasn't going to help anything. It wasn't going to protect anyone. And even worse, it actually had the potential, more than potential, let's be real, to potentially cause harm and to put people in an unnecessary and, quite frankly, I mean, impossible to predict at certain times, scenarios to what would then happen to their career, to their health, to their life. And all to attend a video game. No. So I decided, not only can I attend this event because they want me to undertake this, but even if, because if you know the way back channels in the industry works, there's ways this could have been done. They could have, like, just pretended it was for everyone, and then only really pros had to do it because you noticed they dropped it for the audience. No, no, no. I even had to tell them, by the way, don't think you can come back with that idea either, because if you think I'm going to fake that I did it to work the event, you don't know why I'm not doing the event. Because I said, and I've said publicly, another reason I wouldn't do it on moral grounds is I don't want some young pro who is on the fence or thinks this is a bad thing or thinks this is totally unnecessary. I don't want him to go, wait a minute, oh, everyone's doing it. Even Thorin, that guy, normally he says everything he thinks. He's held moral positions in the past. He's been willing to be fired, not work for events, not go to country. Even he's doing it. I guess everyone's doing it. We all have to. No, I didn't want that to happen. If he does it, he chooses to do it. Maybe there's a false consensus by the rest of them. But I actually want not only for that not to include me, but for me to come out in public like I did on Twitter and in videos and say I'm doing the opposite of this. And this is why I won't work with this event or any event. Any, including the ones that have majors, that put this restriction on. I think it is immoral and fucking disgusting. So, okay, what does that leave us for the future then, guys? Right, let's go around the list, shall we? Like I did before in 2019. PGL could get another major, let's be real. They've killed it with these two in terms of certain aspects, and people have enjoyed them a lot. They've had great crowd response, etc. They'll need to change those requirements, or I'll never even consider working with them. That's an easy one. Let's just run through the ones that aren't even going to be around. E-League and MLG are long gone. I think Starlad has probably gone in terms of getting a major, especially because of that whole thing of they can't probably be sponsored by Russian companies. They could not hold the event in Russia. I mean, at this point, even if the whole conflict in Ukraine ended, I mean, where would you hold an event? So I have no idea what they could even, and they can't go to Belarus. So right now, they're in a really tough spot as to what they would even do, even if they existed as a company, had the funding, and indeed could bid and get a major. Where would they hold it? So I feel like that's not happening, even though I would potentially work for Starlad. It would depend who works there, though. Certain people have made outrageous comments over the last few months and witch hunted certain other people of nationality, and those people can go fuck themselves. And yeah, you can bet it. Then in terms of ESL, because there's the big one you're mainly thinking of, right? They'd have to make some sorts of changes. Now, it is true, and this is part of what made that tricky, is because so many of the people who were my contacts in ESL, not all of them, have, I mean, I've just myself cast them out. I'm not going to talk to them. I don't care. Half of them are blocked on Twitter. It does mean, like, in theory, there's like a scuffed way they could have done it. Like, in theory, they could just lie and move someone's role around and say, well, we did like remove the guy on the Project Pro League who removed those slots, or when they leave anyway, go, well, we fired him. And that would, in theory, meet my requirements, right? So in theory, I guess that's possible. Doesn't seem that likely. And I don't think ESL's got the smarts to even do that. Now, I did say it's about if they leave the company too. So they could also change who's in charge in general. That's actually somewhat likely in terms of, like, if enough years go by, that'll probably happen eventually anyway. Then there's the whole thing, like, if they just left completely or it's new management in place. Yeah, that's not a bad angle. The only problem is, in the meantime, their whole company did get bought by Saudi Arabia and people who were behind some absolutely outrageous stuff. Now, here's the thing. I've never actually said that is something I'm totally against. But with that said, because I have specifically and publicly said so many things about Saudi Arabia in this regard, I think at a minimum it infers slash implies I wouldn't work with them, even though I'm not someone who says you only ever do it based on that in the past. So I just think when other people have said, I won't work with you because you're anti-LGBT, and then they go, oh, what, they kill gays? Yeah, but women can drive, can't they? Oh, maybe I do work with this event. That makes me sick. Like, that is someone who's just complete scum. Their morals are just for, they're just for purchase. The joke is, when you're offer them 1,000, yeah, I'm against that. All right, 100,000, well, I mean, money's money, and so they never had any principles. It's just, do you have the money? If you have the money, they got the time and inclination, homie. Exactly. Inclination was the word I was going for, obviously. Now, also, let's be real, aside from the Saudi angle probably killing it anyway in theory, I also don't really want them to hold the next major in one of those countries in that part of the world in the Middle East. I don't really want to go there. There's not that many other places outside of Europe and North America I want to go now, boys. That's those times are very much in a different world at this time. So the next major's in Rio in Brazil. Right, spoiler, I'm never going to Brazil. That's going without saying. And I would never publicise if I went there anyway. So if they have it in Brazil, that's off the table. There might even be multiple majors in Brazil, I would guess, if this one's a success and not enough people get killed. Because, well, just learn about Brazil. Actually fucking learn. Then there's the Blast angle, right? Now, that's possible. It wasn't previously because it was always messaged behind the scenes. Blast losing money. Blast doesn't want a major. But maybe they do now. Now, if they hold it and it's in Europe, like Copenhagen, yeah, we can probably do that. As long as they haven't got some silly thing again, like, yeah, they can't trail your Twitter, you can't say anything about Australia. As long as they don't try any bullshit. I think potentially we could work together. I think they're pretty good generally. I do think some of the people behind the scenes are actually pretty legit. They're not dickheads in the same way some of the ESLs of the world are. The issue is the implication is the reason they now might want a major is to hold it in the Middle East. So yeah, probably not for me, right? So that leaves basically one company left. Now, this is going to confuse you because I'm going to say it first, Perfect World. You're going to go, what? Perfect World? Perfect World has done events I've worked at, like the CSGO Asia Championships in China. Because what happened was, Perfect World organized the event, but they hired PGL staff to white label it and run the behind the scenes. So there's a world where I could see them doing a major in China, PGL run the event, therefore PGL come to me, got a good relationship with them, ask me to work the major, work the major, Perfect World's got me working the major. The downside there is this, though. First of all, if PGL gets to put those restrictions on, or the Chinese do it, I ain't going. Secondly, I doubt I'm going to China anyway. If I had to put top five countries, I'm probably never going to again in my life. I think China probably makes the list, right? It's just not really a place I have an interest in going after the last few years. I was already somewhat sceptical before that and thinking about, maybe Rich is right. Maybe I just say no to the Chinese events and just do the other ones. So let's be real. There's a lot of TOs I can't work with now, some of them through my own choice. And there's plenty of places I don't want to, or... I mean, actually, I could go to all these places. So I guess I don't want to go to these places. As an aside, there's obviously going to be the angle that plebs are just going to go, yeah, you just weren't going to get hired. Like, that's patently false. I've shown in this video here, no one disputes any of my claims was legit. I could actually prove half of this stuff with the receipts if I had to. I won't, by the way, because none of your fucking business. And who are you to make false claims that I have to somehow jump through hoops for? Then also, how about things like, even after I said all that stuff about the Pro League slots and all of that, ESL still came on by the numbers on the episode I didn't appear on. And basically told Richard straight up, like, they have no problems working with me. They would work with me at events again. Basically, it was my prerogative as to whether that was the case or not. Interesting, isn't it? I've already said I had offers from PGL. I've turned down. Thing is, haters like that don't care, guys, if it's true or false. If it's false and they thought it was true, they still hate you anyway. They're basically just saying it to express that they dislike you and to be shitty to you, to try and hurt your feelings, to try and fuck you. Ha, you aren't wanted. Like, that's all it is. So I'm not playing that game at all. If they think I wasn't hired and it's all lies, then so be it. Go ahead and write your shitty little comments. I'll just keep living my life, doing world championships, making millions of dollars, killing the game, doing all things you claim I can't do, with all the players you think hate me, who are actually friends of mine behind the scenes who respect me. And yeah, it'll just suck for you that your little optics world will remain how it is, and my real life will be awesome. Now, let's be real. There's a much bigger set of reasons. Those are sort of the practical realities or geopolitical situations to why I can or can't work the events or will not or would attend certain events and work with certain TOs. There's also a bigger factor, which you have to understand, and so many people don't. Otherwise, you won't get what I was doing the whole time in CSGO. Why did I do analysis? Has anyone ever asked that question? No, because you just assume you think you know everything. You just want to hear your own, but they're the haters. Stop listening to the haters. Actually, think about it. This was never anywhere close to my main gig, being an on-camera broadcast talent analyst. It was always, at most, half of my work in terms of money or in terms of days of the year worked. By the way, in the early days, it was way less than half because the day rates were so small. An entire event might be €800 for the whole event. So that was nowhere close to what I was making for my other jobs and my journalism and the rest of it. Then my journalism has got to the point where I can make enormous amounts of money under all my freelance, at my own leisure, work for all these people, bidding wars between them. I've got videos, I've got talk shows, I've got other channels, I've got companies, I've got written content, I've got, they're ghostwriting people up for the events, write narrative things for them. Teams want to work with you. Have you helped write? There's an unlimited amount of work. I don't have to do these gigs if I don't want to, and I never had to. So to me, yeah, the day rate's great. It's great getting like $1,000 or more than $1,000 per day. Yeah, it sounds awesome, right? Wow, if I make that, think how much I'm making per year. The problem becomes, and every talent realizes this eventually, it's just the day rate though. If you don't work, you don't get the money. So that means those days, at least for most of the history, all you can do is that event. You can't do something else as well. So yeah, you're making $1,000 that day, or $1,200 or $1,400, but you can't do anything else on that day to make yourself elsewhere money. So you're always reliant on the TO, you're always reliant on this life, and it's hard to go anywhere further. And if they miss you out for the events, you can see why it's so dangerous to hitch your sail to that mast, as it were. Then, let's be real, one reason I did it was for the fantasy. When I used to be watching CS 1.6, all those tournaments, I used to think these commentators are fucking babkiss. Now, true, I didn't understand the play-by-play technical abilities and what people like Red Eye and the rest of them were doing, so I didn't appreciate that as much. I was maybe more of a nerd, just thinking autistically only about the strategy of the game and the best players and what's he doing. Oh, ignore what that's going to say. Look at the way he's playing here, and he plays a spot like this. So I definitely was on a different wavelength back then. But I used to think, mate, you ever let me in there? Oh, I give all the real takes, mate. I won't stand for this bullshit. I won't have this fake narrative built up. I want them to talk about a team where it only has two players left, but they're talking about the team from 3 years ago, like it's the same squad, like all the same qualities. And I would love to get in there. I want to be there shaping the thinking of the game, the history of the game, making sure it's got the right narratives. So basically, it was also about the mission. It was about actually going and being the guy on a desk who tells the pros how it is. Who tells them, you know what, you're a legend, but you played like shit that game. And just because you're a legend, you don't get a pass. You played like shit and your team needed you to win. You know what else? I know how much you make, mate. And I know you're not a supportive element in that team and a guy who's just that. Nah, it's different than that. And you're gonna hear about that just like you would in sports. I know in CS, everyone kisses each other's ass and they all want to have a beer after the game. Nah, I'm fine foregoing that beer, mate, if I get to tell you what's really going on. Because I come from a different world at a different time. And I wanted to avoid all the sycophancy and the bullshit and the fact that when a player comes on the desk, it ruins the whole segment because everyone must just worship him and everything he says. You can't disagree. Nah, that ain't me, mate. That ain't me, homie. That's not what I'm there for. And anyone can fucking get it when I'm on the desk. Also, I wanted to come through and cut through all that bullshit of the idea of simplistic narratives and just easy storylines and, oh, whoever won must be the best, and whoever didn't, they didn't do it. No, I wanted to get all that done. And you know what's awesome? I had an amazing career as an analyst. Might not even be over, but I worked 8 majors, tons of huge events. I got to live in America. I went all around the world. It was a dream come true in many ways. And by the way, that's a dream that could have been dead after my first event in CSGO. Could have worked DreamHack Winter. Could have gone to Katowice, got fired, never get hired again, that's the end. There's many times I could have bailed, there's many times when I had the disputes with the TOs, but I kept going. But that's the thing, we're now in a scenario where it just doesn't really make sense that I would work some of these majors, work with some of these TOs. And it's not that I've had my fill, but I've had a great time. I'm not somebody who's like, ah, but I didn't get to work enough majors. I've worked more than you would even expect, more than my share. I'll say as a quick aside, I do think the modern fans and the Zoomers and the crowds and the ultras in the crowd, and that has ruined some of it for me. I wouldn't really enjoy that environment very much. It's not fun. It used to be awesome in 2015, 16. There's a feckless element to those crowds now, and a genuinely malicious, shitty human element has entered esports, and it is now celebrated. And I'm not just talking about Brazilians, by the way. I'm talking about these are the shittiest fans, and that's who these companies hire as their social media managers. Shout out Excel. That's who these social media managers tweet for and try to get engagement from and do the same memes as and make jokes. Ha ha, come to Brazil and let's all murder everyone who's in Brazil. Ha ha, it's just a funny joke in a country with a massive murder rate, especially against fucking tourists and foreigners. I'm not going to be part of that. Again, morally, I won't be part of shit like that. There has to be some pushback. If none of these TOs are going to do it, then it ain't the vibe for me anyway. These events aren't for me. Now, look, I will still potentially do events, maybe even majors. I never got bored, and I never will, by the way, of the biggest events and the biggest matches and the best teams, the historical. I'll never get bored of that. I'm actually quite unique in that regard. That's why I could have worked many more majors if I had a different perspective, because I have an unending appetite. Unlike most of my peers get bored of the same matchups. They get burned out on doing too many events. They don't feel fulfilled enough just being an analyst. Some of them want to be a color caster. Some of them want more time with it. That's the problem. So many of them, there's other things that drain them away. And they get the first few years in, they burn bright, but then all of a sudden they start to fade and eventually they exit the game and they go elsewhere. They change roles or they just come in frequently. I'll always do something in Counter-Strike to cover it, at a minimum as a fan. I currently am doing all these watch parties. I do my sponsor Esports Bet, building up my own broadcast components through doing so. My own little crew of people I work with. I'm getting my sponsors in place. My company with Monty is getting set up. We're in the position now where I can run expert streams like I always wanted to do with Lurpus back in 1.6. I can do the marquee matchups without having to do all the other games as well. I can just do the finals like I did the Cologne or PGL Antwerp if I want. I can to some degree pick and choose what I do. And that is a beautiful luxury to have that I worked very, very hard and had to do a lot of work and a lot of battles to get to the position to be able to say I can do that and to set my own hours to some degree. So there we go. That's me in the majors. Will we ever see me at another one? I'm not sure myself. It's not seeming that likely. This video was kindly supported by Kill Your Inner Loser, Ahmed Hajou, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Paul Villa, Travis Goff, Adam Oaks, Animosity, BotPounder420, Hades, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Pacey, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my shows? Would you like to ask a question in my Patreon AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the next Reflections guests are or upcoming talk show guests. Do you want to take part in one of those long donator discussions with me? Well, if any of the above or more sound interesting to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.